Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. And Jim, it's always fun during a big budget debate when one of the things that Republicans and conservatives especially would like to defund entirely, really not just shoot themselves in the foot, but almost take a bazooka to it, if we can use that language in this post-Tucson environment. And then we're, of course, talking about NPR executives going to lunch with what they thought were two folks from the Muslim Brotherhood. Turns out in this undercover video through the Veritas Project and James O'Keefe that these folks were trashing the Tea Parties, calling them racist, radical evangelicals, talking about how they really, in the long run, would probably be better off without federal funding. Hard to gift wrap anything better than that for the budget warriors on our side of the aisle.
The male Schiller's departure was not surprising. The female Schiller's departure today is a little bit surprising, although really it's not that surprising considering how she completely mishandled the circumstances of Juan Williams and his departure and subsequent signing to a big contract with Fox News. This videotape pretty much confirms every suspicion and every preconceived notion that everybody on the right has about NPR, that they are smug, that they look down upon their listeners. Perhaps one great surprise is when he says that they'd be better off without federal funding. And in the spirit of bipartisanship, I think we can reach agreement on that, Greg, right?
That's absolutely right.
I mean, in a way, if they were entirely publicly funded, conservatives could complain about the tone and the style and the people who are on it. But, in the end, they'd be a private entity and it would just have to justify it to their donors, to their audience, to their, the foundations that give to them, et cetera. So, when I was earlier today looking through some of their more recent interesting filings, worth noting, Vivian Schiller herself did not collect any salary in the most recent fiscal year that we have filings for. Place is going through tough times and she decided to lead by example. And I think that is commendable on her part. However, her immediate predecessor got severance payments along the lines of $872,000. So if her severance package is anything like his, she will be doing quite okay. But worth noting of all that is that, again, if this is a private entity, as long as everybody inside the organization, everybody who's supplying the money is okay with it, they can pay whatever they want. Once it's a taxpayer-funded entity, these things look different. And, in a circumstance, whether you should be paying salaries like that is, I think, quite debatable. So it's good that we're having this big, bold fight about NPR. I just kind of think that the facts are not really on their side in this one. And the House Republicans and really all Republicans should be moving to say, look, it's time to make this thing private as rapidly as possible.
I would also add this one personal note. Make the most of your internships, folks. I've had good interns and bad interns. In the summer of 2005, I had a particularly ambitious intern named James O'Keefe. And I'm not going to say it had anything to do with what he's been doing with these videos with Acorn or Planned Parenthood or now NPR, because I have absolutely nothing to do with it. But I can tell you, 6 years ago, he was far more motivated to work on whatever he was working on than anyone else I've ever had. And it's showing now in his work. I remember when I first realized he was the Acorn pimp that I almost spit out my orange juice that morning. But quite interesting to see how that little path has led for him. And he's definitely making a big splash with some of these very liberal organizations and bringing some of their heinous activities to light.
Did he always come to the office in the fur coat and funny hat, and feather in the hat and all that?
He did not, at least not that I was aware of.
It's one of those things where, considering what I was doing with some of my internships back in the day, you look at these projects of his and you say, well, all the photocopying he's doing, he learned that from me. You can take pride in that. All the things that the usual drudge work that interns get stuck with.
Exactly right. Well, we talk about the things like NPR that might get defunded. Of course, the Democrats have different ideas on just about everything, as we're going to learn here in the next two martinis. The bad martini today, President Obama, speaking up in Massachusetts yesterday, and the president began this sentence that we're going to give you the second half of by saying, we really need to get tough on spending. We have to get our fiscal house in order.
But I want everybody to pay attention. Even as we find ways to cut spending, we cannot cut back on job-creating investments like education. We cannot cut back on the very investments that will help our economy grow and our nation compete and make sure that these young people succeed. There's nothing responsible about that.
I think, Jim, what we've learned over the past 3 to 4 years from Barack Obama's. Once you get to the word "but" in his sentence, you know he doesn't mean a thing that he said before that, because we've seen from his budget planning here that he has absolutely no intention of really tackling this debt issue, and instead he's trying to jack up funding for federal dollars on education, clean energy, and all sorts of other things. So this is him putting the pedal to the metal rather than trying to dial it back.
Greg, let me be clear. We must cut spending, but we must also increase spending by a lot. That is Obama logic. It is one of the things that's kind of fascinating. You know, we've seen this, you know, back to going to the Bill Clinton days. Democrats really seem to think that if they call a spending program an investment, it changes it. Now, I traditionally, you know, Greg, if you or I decide we want to invest some money in something, I mean, we look at a stock, we look at the performance of the stock, we look at a mutual fund, we look at the, you know, the performance of the mutual fund, and we have some sense of what we will get back on our investment. We have some sort of sense of, all right, here's what the quarterly earnings are going to be, here's what, you know, we're looking at as a dividend on each share of stock, et cetera. On all of these things, we're not getting any financial return on these quote-unquote investments.
Right.
They're not investments in the traditional defense. What investment he's basically using as a synonym for a good thing. It's going to do good things for people, so thus it is an investment. Well, you know, many things are good things, but that doesn't necessarily make them an investment. But this is, you know, the Democrats seem absolutely convinced that if they say this enough times, people will believe it. And, you know, considering how some polling indicates that the public is wary of spending cuts once you get into specifics, they may be winning that argument. We'll have to see how this shakes out. This is not, you know, it's worth noting Republicans do not push spending cuts because they think it will make them popular. They push them because we need them right. to avert fiscal ruin.
Yeah, absolutely right. And it's interesting how investments for their pet projects have a very different tone in their mind than long-term investments that conservatives come up with. Want to open up ANWR for domestic energy for the foreseeable future? Well, that'll take 10 years. We can't take that time. That doesn't solve the gas pump price right now. But we're going to pump all this money into high-speed rail, which, of course, is going to come online next week. And I'm not really sure what the demand for that is. I can tell you what the demand is for all the energy in ANWR and the Gulf of Mexico and off our coast and all sorts of other things. And BP disaster notwithstanding, it's pretty rare that environmental problems happen.
One more good example of that phenomenon. Back in 2001, John Kerry and other Senate Democrats refused to allow drilling in ANWR, in the Alaska National Wildlife Refuge, for a very good reason. That the, you know, gasoline price, it would have no effect on gasoline prices for 10 years back in 2001.
Welcome to 10 years later.
Here we are. We haven't done any drilling and gas prices are high. Gee, it, you know, it's almost as if we had done something 10 years ago, maybe we'd have an impact today. But way to go, Kerry.
Yeah, way to go, Kerry. And way to go, Nevada. Jim actually using our favorite catchphrase in the very beginning of his morning jolt today. And Harry Reid, this is the best of all worlds when it comes to the third and crazy martini. And absolute proof that Democrats have no intention of ever making serious spending cuts. Harry Reid talking about the audacity of Republicans on the Senate floor yesterday that they would try to defund NPR, the National Endowment for the Humanities. Jim, we can't defund it or even reduce spending because we could lose this project.
The National Endowment for Humanities is a reason we have in Northern Nevada every January, the Cowboy Poetry Festival. Had that program not been around, the tens of thousands of people who come there every year would not exist.
Jim, where would we be without the Nevada Cowboy Poetry Festival? I think Harry Reid has a fantastic point. We just simply can't defund that.
First of all, notice that Harry Reid is wrong when he says the National Endowment for Humanities. He got his facts wrong. It's actually the National Endowment for Arts. The National Endowment for Humanities has given $5,000 to this project since 2000. So we can't cut that. Second of all, you look at what the National Endowment for the Arts has given. That has given traditionally more money on it, you know, annually. Some years as low as $10,000, some years as high as $50,000, and they also got an additional $40,000 in stimulus money because the Cowboy Poetry Festival stimulates the economy somehow, you know. But you know, it's one of those things where I think it was Guy Benson who observed this. The fact that he's raising a stink over this reveals everything you need to know about the Democratic mindset because – look, as noted yesterday, the cuts the Republicans are proposing amount to about one-fifth of our deficit for February. Mind the annual deficit. Never mind the size of this. The size of our annual deficit is going to be in the neighborhood of $1.5, $1.6 trillion. Clearly, you can't cut all that in 1 year. Clearly, even making a slight dent in it is difficult. But here, Harry Reid says, look, I'm not even willing to give up this. that we must keep running this deficit because I like this program. Kids, you're going to inherit a crushing debt because Harry Reid wanted to listen to Black Bart's haikus. That's, you know, that is his line in the sand, and there's nothing more. So, you know, you look at this, and as, you know, as infuriating as it is, you see this, you see the refusal to accept any cuts through collective bargaining. You see no cuts to NPR, no cuts to PBS, no cuts to any of this stuff. Democrats, deep in their bones, really don't understand that we have to cut anything, much less make cuts that they would consider draconian, you know, in order to get our deficit even remotely manageable, much less, you know, the current catastrophic course of action we're on right now.
Absolutely. I think we know now how they define draconian, which is pretty much anything you want to cut. For them, it's all a matter of just raising taxes and getting the revenue up rather than having any sort of responsibility whatsoever. Jim, unbelievable way to end the day, as it usually is with the third martini, but Harry Reid really takes the cake today. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Once again, way to go, Nevada. See you, Greg.
Jim Garrity of NationalReview.com. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us next time for the Three Martini Lunch.